This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I remember a television ad that I saw a number of years ago, and it was advertising insurance. And they were using the Rock of Gibraltar as the logo for their ad. And they would always say you could own a piece of the rock. We want to talk about a rock today that we really need in our lives. It's a solid rock. The Rock of Ages. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want to tell you that I'm so delighted to have you watching today, especially if you may be watching for the very first time. And we want to welcome you to our telecast. If you're watching as a regular viewer of Getting to Know Your Bible, I want to thank you. And I would encourage you all to tell others about the telecast, Getting to Know Your Bible. We're dedicated just to preaching the Bible, that nothing more. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a fundraiser. I hope to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm still trying. Now, we want to offer today a free Bible correspondence course. And I emphasize the word free. It costs you nothing except the time that it takes for you to pick up the telephone and call for it. But that you might know more about the Bible course and that you might understand how you can take the Bible course or receive the Bible course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading to you today from the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and verse number 31. For their rock is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. If you'll note in your Bible, the first time Moses used the word rock, it was a lowercase. The second time the word rock is used, it's uppercase. Their rock is not as our rock. And Moses was talking about the different gods that were around God's people at that time as they came into the land of Canaan. They were living in the midst of all kinds of idolatry, false gods. And he referred to those little gods as a rock with a lowercase. But God is referred to as being the rock, uppercase. So their rock, their gods, are not as our God. Now, when Moses made that statement, there was a new generation of people standing before him. You see, they had been in the wilderness for some 40 years. And now Moses was about to relinquish his role as the leader of God's people. And there was going to be a new generation that would be going and marching into the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham back in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And Moses wanted them to know that as they went into this land, there were going to be all kinds of gods around them. And he wanted them to remain faithful to the God of heaven, the one God, the true God. And he said, I want you to know that their rock, their little gods, are not as our rock. We have a new generation standing before us today. And we need to impress upon the new generation, the generation that will be controlling things in the future. That is, they will be controlling and there'll be positions of leadership in government, in the church, in the home, in society in general. And around us today and around this new generation, there are those that bow down to other forms of gods, that is, idolatry. But their rock is not as our rock. All my life I've seen leaders get up in a worship, and occasionally they'll lead a song written by Augustus Toplady. And that song is entitled Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. There are all kinds of rocks that people are turning to today. For example, there is the rock of atheism to which many turn. And men declare that with boldness, actually, that they do not believe that God exists. I've often wondered how they cannot believe something doesn't exist that they do not believe it exists. And I've often wondered how they know that. If there's one thing they do not know, that one thing they do not know may be the fact that God exists. If there's one place they have never been, that one place they have never been may be where God is. Of course, God's everywhere, isn't He? In other words, for a person to make the declaration, as is found in Psalms 14:1, the fool is said in his heart, there's no God. That person would have to be a God themselves. They would have to have been everywhere. They would have to know everything. Because our God, the real God of heaven, our rock, the rock of ages, is an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, and an omnipresent God, a God who is here, who is there, and is everywhere. Unfortunately, there are many that are turning to that rock today. Another rock to which men turn is the rock of materialism. Is there anything wrong with an individual possessing things? Absolutely not. Unless the things, material objects, begin to possess the man. That's the reason Jesus warned in Luke 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life, real life, good life, eternal life, spiritual life, is not made up of things. Things will pass away. But those things of God are things that will last forever. The psalmist said, of old thou hast laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens of the work of thy hand. They shall perish. But thou, that is God, shall endure. That's found in the 102nd Psalm, about verse 25 and 26. And so materialism is eating away at the heart of people in our world today, and especially in America. That there is a deep economic discontent across the regions of the world. Now we're concerned about inflation, not just in America, but worldwide. And they're the doomsday sayers that are predicting worse things in the future. I think of the words of the late George Bernard Shaw when he said that there are two great mistakes made in the life of man. And one is that getting all of his heart's desire, and the other is not getting his heart's desire. You see, a life that is focused around material things is destined to doom. That's the reason Paul warned in 1 Timothy the 6th chapter, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That is, puffed up, arrogant, but think that they are the elite of society. Charge them that are of this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. And Solomon said, riches take themselves wings and they fly away. So you see, their rock is not as our rock. Another rock to which men turn is the rock of pleasure. Now, there are various pleasures in life that are legitimate pleasures. And Psalm 16, verse 11, talks about joyous pleasures in the Lord. But there are sinful pleasures. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, the apostle wrote and said, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Another person, here's a person who's living strictly for pleasure and to sinful pleasures. And spiritually speaking, that person is dead, a walking dead person, even though they are physically alive. Paul in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, spoke of those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Don't you think that's a real problem today? Their rock is not as our rock. Another rock to which men turn is the rock of education. And we need education. I believe in education. As a matter of fact, I serve as a trustee on the board of a Christian university, Faulkner University in Montgomery, Alabama. And I serve on the board of a Christian school here where I live and where I preach. Just a few feet away from where I'm speaking right now. So I'm not opposed to education. And I encourage our young people to get as much education as possible. They need education of the mind. But they need education of the soul as well. And when we leave out the education of the soul of our young, their rock is not as our rock. Jesus, we're told, grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. And so that's a well-rounded education. When you educate not only the mind of an individual, but you educate your whole person. They're educated spiritually, socially, and the like. And so when we leave out the education of the heart, the education of the soul of an individual, then that's the rock that will not stand. There was a preacher out doing some street preaching one day, and he was speaking on the rock of ages. There was a heckler in the audience that kept saying that Jesus was not the rock. And finally the preacher had enough. And he stopped and he looked at that heckler and said, on Jesus, the solid rock I stand, all other rock is shamrock. Their rock is not as our rock. I want us to think about the way and places in the Bible and the way that the Bible uses the word rock. To think about these passages of Scripture, first of all, there is 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 2. The Lord is our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. So the Lord is our rock. Then think about 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse number 2. Neither is there any rock like our God. Then there's Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Now, in each case where the word rock is used, it's capitalized, indicating that this is God, the true God. Then what about Psalm 61 and verse number 2? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Then Psalm 62 and in verse number 2, He only is my rock. Can you say that today? That He only is my rock? That God is my rock? Are you turning to other rocks, other gods in your life? If you are, that's the reason that you may feel no purpose in your life. That may be the reason that you feel like there's an empty space in your life. You need the rock of ages to be the core and the center of everything that you say, everything you think, everything that you do. You need to lean on the rock of ages. And you'll not just, we don't need just a piece of the rock, as is indicated in the television ad that I have seen in time past. We need the whole rock. We need all of it. I want you to think with me the certain things about that rock that we read about in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. This rock is a rock that gives life. Look in verse number 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten that God that formed thee. God, you see, this rock is the rock that created and formed life. As Paul said to the Athenians, it's in Him that we live, in Him that we move, and have our very being. Then notice again in verse 18, it's the rock that saves. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. That is, they continue to remember Him. This is the God that gives life. This is the God that also saves. Notice in verse number 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The rock that Moses is talking about is the rock that of perfect work. Notice in verse number 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. He said, He is the rock, His work is perfect. So God is a rock, is our rock, and everything God does is with perfection. Notice again that He is the rock without comparison. Verse 31 tells us that there is no rock that can compare with our rock. No God that can compare with our God. Our rock, their rock, is not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves being judges. So He is our rock. And it's the rock that gives strength. Listen to Psalm 62, verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. But the rock, our rock, is that upon which the church was built. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples who the people thought, who do they say I am? And they had all of their ideas about the identity of Jesus, John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them the question, who do you think I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's in the 16th verse of Matthew 16. Then in verse 18, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father's in heaven. And I say unto thee also, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The church is not built upon Peter. The word that's the Greek word for Peter is a little small pebble. The word for rock, as is used in Matthew 16:18, is a boulder, huge rock. Well, upon what is the church built? The church is not built upon Peter. The church is built upon the bedrock confession Peter made in verse 16, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church is built upon Christ. He's even the foundation of it. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Have you ever really stopped and thought about all of the blessings that are in the Rock of Ages? Well, in the Rock of Ages, we have protection from all of the storms and temptations of this life. Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, to whom was he speaking? He said, you need to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. It is our rock, our God, who will help us to overcome temptation and help us to overcome all the difficulties of life. Our rock is not as their rock. And it is our rock that is that upon which salvation is founded. I want to call your attention to a passage in the 4th chapter of Acts and verse number 11. And this is actually a quotation from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and verse 16. The stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become head of the corner, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And who was the prophet Isaiah talking about? And when Luke wrote the book of Acts in Acts chapter 4, to whom did he have reference? He had reference to Jesus, our rock. And Jesus is the rock where we have find salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. We are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. In John, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, Jesus, the Bible there says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto them that received him gave you the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those who believe on the name of Jesus have the right to become a son of God. So they evidently were not the sons of God at that point. You cannot become what you already are. So if you're a believer, you have a right to become a child of God. But then in order to be a child of God, you must be willing to repent of all of your sins. We're taught in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what the whole world needs today is repentance. We need to be willing to turn away from sins that have grieved the heart of our God and turn to Him. And you'll never be able to have salvation in the Rock of Ages without turning away from the sin in your life. And thus, as a penitent believer, we must be willing to confess or acknowledge we believe in Jesus. Just like Peter did in Matthew 16:16, You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. There was a man from Ethiopia who had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way home. We read about this in the 8th chapter of Acts. And this is when Philip the evangelist was told to leave his labors in Samaria and go to this chariot side of this man. And when he came to this man, he began to preach Jesus to him. This is found in the 8th chapter of Acts, starting in about verse 35. He began at the same scripture, and the man from Ethiopia is reading Old Testament scripture, Isaiah chapter 53. And he preached unto him Jesus. And as they came to a certain water, the man said, "Here's water, why can't I be baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, if you believe, you can." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Before I baptize an individual, the only thing I would have a right to ask them is, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And then as a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus, if you want to build your life on the solid rock, you must be baptized into Christ that you might be saved. Then your sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We read that in Acts, the 22nd chapter, and in verse 16. I want to ask you something. Upon what are you building your life? Are you built upon the rock of ages? Are you building your life on the solid rock? Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, him and alike unto a man that built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock, built on a rock." Are you building your life on Jesus? I'd encourage you to do that today. And I'd encourage you, if you believe in Jesus, if you've been willing to turn away from the sin in your life, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, I'd urge you to do that quickly. I would urge you to contact us. We'll have some preacher or some other servant of God to contact you, baptize you for the remission of your sins. You'll be added to the body of Christ. Acts 2:47. I want to thank you for watching today. And in our closing moments, may I give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ, your community. And right now, pick up the telephone. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. Do that without delay. I want to thank you for watching. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Precept and Bible.